It's the 15th day of protests in Egypt. Those are demonstrations that we've covered since day one here in The Takeaway. Egyptian President Hosni Mubarak's regime has offered, at one point, unthinkable political concessions, and he's started negotiations with some of his fiercest adversaries. But some things in Egypt don't really change all that quickly. There have always been, throughout the Mubarak regime, complaints about brutality of the, both the military and the police force, about random arrests. And that's reportedly still going on. The Egyptian police has rounded up human rights activists, protests, organizers, journalists without formal charges. Most arrests have lasted fewer than 24 hours. But this has long been a complaint of Egyptians, and it looks as though it continues. At least 75 Egyptian activists and 30 foreign journalists have reportedly been captured since the protests started 15 days ago. And at least seven people disappeared last Thursday as they were returning from a meeting with opposition leader Mohamed El-Bardeh. Joining us now is one of the former captives, Daniel Williams, a senior researcher in the Emergencies Division of Human Rights Watch. Good morning, Daniel.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well. Maybe you can tell us exactly what happened to you when you were taken captive.
Well, I was visiting the offices of the Hisham Mubarak Law Center, which is a venerable and a very active human rights organization in, located in central Cairo. The building was blocked off and then entered under what appeared to me to be the authority of military police, a policeman, some state security people, those are plainclothes agents, and some thugs with clubs and sticks who gathered us all together, sat us down, eventually handcuffed us behind our back, and several hours later took us off on a journey through Cairo that ended up at a military base in the northeast part of the city.
You know, Daniel, you're talking about being detained at a military center. There's been this long-running debate over the role of the military, and people have been keeping it distinct from the role of the police force, the security police. What kind of interaction did you see between the military and the police, if any?
Well, the military were overseeing this operation, and it's something we've been trying to look into for several days. I think this distinction between what the military is up to and what the police or state security agents are up to is perhaps not accurate anymore, if it ever was. As our one of our other researchers in Cairo puts it, our focus is shifting from just police detention to detention harassment of international journalists, bloggers, democracy activists, and human rights activists by military intelligence and military police. This is a development that raises lots of questions.
Well, we want to remind people that Daniel Williams, our guest, a senior researcher in the Emergencies Division of Human Rights Watch, was held in captivity in Cairo for 36 hours last week. And as concerned as I am, Danny, for your safety, what evidence do you have that the military, through these detentions and these clandestine, it seems like, or actually very public police activities, constitutes a kind of shadow government that's behind the scenes, ready to sort of take control if things get out of hand?
Well, I'm not sure the military rule in ruling Egypt is shadow. After all, Omar Suleiman and the new prime minister are both military men, although technically retired. And of course, Hosni Mubarak was a military man. The military has effectively been the shadow ruler, as you put it, of Egypt for almost 60 years. In my case, we were accompanied by, and the people who took us were under the authority of military people from beginning to end. At one point, a major general arrived at Hisham Mubarak Center to oversee events, and when they brought in a poor Japanese photographer who had nothing to do with the Hisham Mubarak Center, wasn't there when the raid took place, he said, put him in with the rest of us. It wasn't like they were just like onlookers, what's going on here? They were in charge. Now, this is one incident, but we're looking into many others where this kind of thing has been reported.
Well, Daniel Williams, do you think that they are, as others have claimed, that they are specifically targeting human rights activists and journalists? And for what purpose? Is this an intimidation tactic?
Well, you'll have to ask them. But, of course, one of the primary goals of the government is to clear the plaza and to, from the very beginning, there's been efforts to stopped communication, to clear the plaza. Who else, after all, was in authority, in effect, when the plaza was invaded by these gangs last week? It is intimidation. Whether that's the goal or not, I can't say. There is intimidation. There are the tensions. There are abuses. And the military is the authority that is in charge of security in the city, if not the whole country.
Well, perhaps these are the last gasps of a regime that's exiting. I mean, the police and the military were given extraordinary powers under the state of emergency that's lasted almost nonstop for 30 years or so. Perhaps as the negotiations move forward, as Egypt gets free elections in September, this situation will not be legal and won't happen anymore. Daniel Williams, I can only assume that's your hope.
Well, whoever's going to end up in charge and whoever's in charge of this so-called transition, there are many things that have to be fixed. It's not just the exit of Hosni Mubarak, which has been a main focus of both the demonstrators and perhaps the international media. There has to be free expression and has to be guaranteed. There cannot be this kind of arbitrary detentions, isolation, lack of communication that took place in my case, but it is taking place in many other places, to many other people. Which was, after all, not granted to the military. It was the military who put in the emergency law.
So, Daniel, before we go, how worried are you about the demonstrators who remain in the square and about this sort of light of democratic enthusiasm being snuffed out?
Again, I think the main goal of the government is to get that square cleared and return to some sort of normalcy and not negotiate under pressure. Nonetheless, from our point of view, these past abuses must not go forward. We've documented torture. We've documented a lot of things over the years under Hosni Mubarak. If it goes forward, then this movement, so to speak, would be for nothing.
That's Daniel Williams, senior researcher in the Emergencies Division of Human Rights Watch. Had an emergency of his own. He was held in captivity in Cairo in military detention for 36 hours last week during the protests. Thank you so much, Daniel.
Thank you.
You can follow our podcast for more stories like this one. It's called Wave of Change, the push for democracy in the Arab world. We have interviews that you can't get on the air that go into depth about the historic changes in the Arab world. Subscribe or download it at iTunes or at thetakeaway.org.
This is Ira Flatto, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, the Science Friday team has been reporting high-quality science and technology news, making science fun for curious people by covering everything from the outer reaches of space to the rapidly changing world of AI to the tiniest microbes in our bodies. Audiences trust our show because they know we're driven by a mission to inform and serve listeners first and foremost with important news they won't get anywhere else. And our sponsors benefit from that halo effect. For more information on becoming a sponsor, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.